the fifth reading before the lesson this evening is taken from Nahum, the third chapter. I'll be reading verses 5 through 7. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, make you a spectacle. And it shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comforters for you?
Good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you, and always thankful for these opportunities that we have to certainly worship God and spirit and truth, and certainly open up God's Word and try to learn some lessons from it. The book of the month has been Nahum, which really, Nahum, you could probably read it in the time that I preach. But you've got three chapters there, and you really have Nahum delivering the message to Nineveh that they will be destroyed. And certainly there are some other ideas in there. We've already had a few lessons from Nahum. He is directing his message here to Nineveh that they are going to be destroyed, that this is going to be the end. And we just remind ourselves that about 100 years before this, Jonah went to the same place, Nineveh. And when Jonah preached, they all repented. In our first lesson, we kind of looked at the idea, when you think of Nineveh, which is really kind of the major audience, although we would have Judah as the audience as well, but you think of Nineveh as part of that audience, God has done a lot in terms of His patience, kindness, and goodness towards Nineveh. We see that too, sending Jonah, and really, they repent from the top to the bottom. 100 years later, we see that their pride is going to get in their way of responding in such a way of repentance. Certainly, I think with Nineveh, over the course of 100 years or so, we can see the goodness of God, and we can see the severity of God, as He is going to bring judgment on this city, this nation. We also look at the idea of how much can change over the period of 100 years. You know, you think of this city, Nineveh, 100 years before, they repent from the top to the bottom, and now, 100 years later, God is going to say it is over for this city and this nation. This evening, I'd like to think a little bit about how God handles nations, and a little bit about what our responsibility is in the nation which we live. You know, I put up the map of the world behind us. You know, there's a lot of places that you could have been born, certainly. You know, the United States is not the only country in the world. We have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And the question is, whatever nation we find ourselves in, what are our obligations as Christians? And I think they're actually the same. It wouldn't matter if I was born in Russia. It wouldn't matter if I was born in China. It wouldn't matter if I was born in Australia. It wouldn't matter where I was born. There's certain obligations I would have. But I think God handles nations because God handles people. You know, I think we believe in the providence of God. And when we look at the Old Testament, God really advertises His providence and His intervention in nations, such as we see in Nahum. God says, Nineveh, your time is up. That is advertised. God says what's going to happen, and we see what is going to happen to Nineveh, Assyria, is that they will be destroyed. I do believe that God interacts in our world today. I think because He interacts in our world today, He interacts in our world, then He would also interact with nations. Now, in the Old Testament, God was on a mission, and His mission was to preserve the nation of Israel, because that was the line in which the Messiah was going to come through. So we can see God's providential hand through the Old Testament really moving nations and working nations, not taking away free will, but making sure everything providentially worked out for the nation of Israel so that Jesus could come and He could be the Savior, the Messiah, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. So God definitely intervenes in this world. But a few observations about nations as we think about Nineveh is I believe God will use nations. Now, it was advertised in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when it comes to God's providence, we don't have really that direct revelation, that direct communication. All we have is God's Word. And certainly, I believe God works in nations, but I can't tell you this is what's going on, this is what's going on. I believe God is involved. But God uses nations. God will even use wicked nations. God has used Nineveh multiple times. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, "Woe to Assyria! The rod is my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation." See, God used Assyria, He used Nineveh as a rod to discipline Israel. God will use nations. And what I've noticed as I study the Old Testament is I notice that many times nations go through cycles. Nations will go through cycles, and these cycles are typically, as I look at the Old Testament, as we see it all unfold in the Old Testament was for our learning, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we can see how God providentially works in nations, and also we can see the cycle of nations. We can even see it with, I would say, Israel, God's people. We see through Judges that they will turn to God, and then they will turn away from God. And then they will turn to God, and they will turn away from God. And I think we see this many times with nations, is that nations many times will turn to God, or they'll be turning away from God. I think nations go in cycles many times. I think that when a nation gets sinful, when they choose to sin, the nation many times I think will be destroyed from the inside. And I think many times God's providential hand can be involved in some of these interactions. Now I can't put my finger down and say when and where, but God is involved in the world in which we live. If not, why would we pray? God certainly is. God is saying to Nineveh, the end has come. We can look at chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 of Nahum. It says, "Though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, now they flee away. Hold, hold, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of the silver, take spoil of the gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste." God is telling what is going to happen to Nineveh. Nineveh is going to be empty, desolate, and a waste. Brother Mickey read for us chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, which we also get a picture of what God is going to do to Nineveh. It says, "Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift up your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will cast abominable filth upon you, make you vile, and make you a spectacle. It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste." It is the end of Nineveh. God has said it. I believe that nations will go through cycles. I think God can be involved in that. I think the people that live in that nation can be involved in that. And a lot of times I believe it is connected to sin. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, the Bible says this. It says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." You know, many times nations, I believe, go through cycles. Cycles in a relationship with God in terms of how sinful or how willing that country is to follow God. I think countries many times will go through cycles. I think perhaps as you reflect on the United States, would you say that we were perhaps closer to God as a nation? Or as the 50 years have passed, are we farther away from God? Certainly we have our individual relationship with God, but if we look at our nation as a whole, what has happened to the nation? What has happened to morality? What has happened to these things? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, many times in the news, the pinnacle, it seems like, when talking about the nation and the nation's success, is economic prosperity. And although I'm not against economic prosperity, I don't know if that really should be our pinnacle of what a nation should be. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach on any people. You know, I think of Israel as an example. You know, Israel had some really golden years. We think of David and we think of Solomon. You know, I think of Solomon in particular, Israel was doing very well economically. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says this, it says, also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stone. And he made cedars as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowlands. See, when Solomon was king, there was a lot of economic success. Economic prosperity. It said silver and gold was like stones in Jerusalem. Economic success. But if you don't have a nation that is moral, you're in trouble. In fact, we start to see Solomon start to have issues. We start to see some of these people that Solomon surrounds himself with in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. We see these women that are surrounding him. These women from other countries, other societies, they start to impact him. The way that God should be worshipped, the way that they should conduct themselves. Solomon starts to be influenced by this, and he starts to be swayed away by many of these things. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. The best nation you could have would be a righteous nation. A nation that considers what God says and tries to do it, tries to govern with those principles and those values in mind. But I think nations go through cycles. Times where nations will say, we're very concerned with what God has to say, and periods in a nation where they say, we're not concerned at all with what God has to say. And you know what? Nineveh has got to that point. Nineveh is not concerned at all with what God has to say, and we see in the Old Testament that God is advertising what's going to happen to Nineveh. I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do as our nation cycles? You did not ask to be born in the United States. You did not ask to be born in the time period in which you were born. But I do believe in God's providence. I really do. God is not going to tempt us beyond what we're able. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I thank God put us in this nation for such a time as this. I remember the words that are said to Esther. We were put in the United States. Us. Talking about the individuals here this evening. God put us here in the United States because He knew we could handle the temptations and the trials that are around us, and we could be faithful to God as our nation cycles, wherever our nation is in the cycle. We can disagree where exactly we are in the cycle of nations, but God wants us to be faithful. There's a lot of places we could be born, there's a lot of places we could be, but we're right here. And we need to do exactly what God wants us to do. I believe in the providence of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I believe in God's providence. I believe in God's providence in nations. And I think that we, as Christians, can impact the world which we live in. Now, many times we feel like we can't impact it enough. But you know what? I think God, through His wisdom, through His providence, through considering all factors, knew that Kyle could be a parent in the United States during this time period. Lord willing, as the years roll on, God knew that Kyle could be a grandparent in this time, in this nation, in this time period that our nation's going through. See, a lot of times people get discouraged. But I think we have to think about that, is that God does have a hand in our lives, although we cannot always put our finger down on it, is that you understand that God will not tempt you beyond what you're able, and you are in the United States during whatever cycle of the United States we're in, and God knows that you can be faithful. That you can follow God, that you can be obedient, that you can do those things that are good and right. I believe in God's providence. I don't know what cycle we're in exactly in the United States. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if the United States boundaries will change. You know, boundaries change from time to time. We think of things that happened in our nation's history, the Louisiana Purchase. Did that not change the boundaries of the United States? There's a lot of things that can happen to nations. There's a lot of things that can happen to nations. But you know what? As Christians, we have to be mindful. What does God want me to do? Be faithful and serve. Let's look at some of those things. There are so many things that are out of our control when it comes to the big nations that we have clashing with one another in our world. I think we have to trust that God's in control. But I can tell you this, there is some things that God tells us to do, and it doesn't matter what country we're a part of. Number one is that we need to be a spiritually focused people. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't matter if I'm a Christian in China, India, Australia, it doesn't matter where I am. If I'm a Christian, I need to be spiritually minded, and I need to be focused more on my heavenly citizenship than my physical citizenship. I'm not saying that we don't have physical citizenship. We do. I'm not saying that we don't have obligations to our physical citizenship. We do. But when it comes to a Christian, it doesn't matter what country or what nation I found myself in, I better be spiritually focused on our heavenly citizenship. You know, God tells us certain things that we should do in the nations that we find ourselves in. Number one is pray. Do you pray for our nation? It doesn't matter if I was in China, it doesn't matter if I was in India, it doesn't matter if I was in the United States, wherever I am, as a Christian, I need to be spiritually minded and also need to be praying for the nation that I'm a part of. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Says, therefore I exhort you first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." It doesn't matter if I was in China, it doesn't matter if I was in India, it doesn't matter if I'm in the United States. I need to have a spiritual mindset, and I need to be praying for the nation that I'm a part of. It doesn't matter if it's a king, it doesn't matter if it's a dictator, it doesn't matter if it's an elected official, I'm praying for all of them, and I'm praying that I can live a life. What does it say? Lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. There are bigger things than the rise and fall of nations. Our soul is much more important. There are bigger things than the rise and fall of nations. Our soul is important. We need to be spiritually focused. We need to be praying. And you know what? We need to be obeying the laws of the land. Unless it contradicts God's word. There are bigger things than our pride when it comes to these things. We're concerned about our soul. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God." You know, I think that kind of references God's providence. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Number one, Christians, we better have a spiritual focus in whatever nation we're in. We better be praying in whatever nation we're in. We should be obedient to the governing authorities unless it contradicts the word of God. And that is a great advantage to a Christian that I don't think we have full time to explore this evening. But you know what a power it is when a Christian is spiritually focused, they're praying for the government, they're obeying the laws of the land. That means if they come after the Christian in a country that's against Christianity, the only reason they're coming after them is because of their faith. And that makes a powerful statement. I think we see it in the first century church. I think we see it in the Old Testament as well. As we look at Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where the law of the land was against them. But they were obedient as long as the laws didn't contradict what they were trying to do to serve the Lord. I think it made an impression on the Babylonians when they watched Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they say these are obedient gods. The only times they rebel is when they're actually being obedient to their God first. It doesn't matter what nation we're in, we need to be spiritually focused, we need to be praying, we need to be obeying, and we also need to be trying to get the word out there. We need to be getting God's word out there as best we can. Certainly that is an obligation for all Christians in whatever nation they find themselves in. And certainly I believe those things can make a difference. If we can pray, if we can obey the government, if we can try to spread God's word, that can make a difference in a nation. There are many things that are out of my control. There are many things on the war front that are out of my control. I can't necessarily impact these wars. I can't impact many of these decisions, but I can tell you this. I can pray. I can obey the government. I can try to live a good Christian life. And you know what? That will impact the people that I live around. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need to be focused on righteousness as best we can. But I think if you really think about God and nations, I think if you think about it too long, I think you do realize that so much is really out of our control. If you've got to get to a point as a Christian that you trust in God more than you trust in yourself, and that's hard for people. That's hard for people many times. Is that once I have said, I'm going to be spiritually focused, I'm going to pray, I'm going to obey, I'm going to try to live the Christian life and get the word out, you need to trust in God. You got to handle a lot of these things off. I can't handle Russian foreign policy. I can't handle the United States foreign policy. There's a lot of things that are out of my control. I need to get to the point as a Christian where I am going to do what God has asked me to do, and then I trust God. And that's very hard on a lot of people. That's very hard on a lot of people. Do what you can, and then trust God. I tell you, if you try to control these things, let me tell you, you're not going to control them. You're not going to control them for a second. You got to let them go. You got to get to a point where you trust God. And I think many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we get lost in the battle of nations. And we miss out on the battle for souls. We get lost in the battle of nations, and we get lost in the battle of nations, and forget about the war, the battle for people's souls. 100 years from now, the United States might not exist. I don't know. Whether the United States raises or falls matters little in the grand scheme of eternity. And I'm not trying to say I'm not a patriot. I'm just saying it's not the biggest thing in my book. The biggest thing in my book is my citizenship that's in heaven. But I would say that for any nation. In the grand scheme of things, does it matter if Australia rises or falls? Does it matter in the grand scheme of things if Assyria rises or falls? A lot of these things are out of our control. We need to be focused on our spiritual lives and making a spiritual difference in those that are around us. Will you trust God? In Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes." There's a lot of people that put so much into the election, and I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't be engaged in the political process, but they put so much stock in the election that I think they really lose sight of spiritual things. They really do. I'm not saying we can't be involved in the political process, but 100 years from now, does it matter who the next president's going to be? I tell you, what is going to matter your soul? I'm not saying he totally disengaged from the process. Paul utilized his citizenship when it was appropriate. I look at Joseph. Joseph worked within the system that he was. He was a good servant to Potiphar, and we see God's providential care as he goes up to number 2 in Egypt. I'd say Joseph was politically involved. I would say that Paul was politically involved. I would say that there were a lot of Christians that were politically involved, but they never lost sight. I will do what I need to do as a Christian, and then I'll trust God. But people struggle with that. I'll do what I can. I will serve to the best of my ability, but I get to a point where these issues are far bigger than me, and I've got to lay them at the feet of God. It'll be okay. It'll work out if we serve the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps." Don't get lost in the battle of nations to lose your soul. Don't get so lost in the political process that you're not focused and engaged on spiritual things. I'm not saying that we can't engage in these things. If the nation falls, I think God's people should be engaged. I think of Amos. What did Amos do? God took him from the southern kingdom and sent him north. And what did he do? He went to Washington, basically, and said, you guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. He said, you're not worshiping right. You're not serving God right. You're not caring about the poor. Amos took it to him. As servants of God, when a nation turns away from godly principles and ideals, I think we do have an obligation to stand up and say those things that are good and right. But after we've done that, I think we've got to trust the Lord. When a nation is turning their back on God, I think the temptation is many times for God's people not to stand up, not to speak up, not to do those things that we should be doing. But when I look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament, I think we can very clearly see that God's people are turning away from God. And one of these minor prophets going all the way to the bottom of the barrel, they're saying, turn back to God. Be focused on spiritual things. Get engaged with worship. Worship God correctly. Do those things that we should be doing. The minor prophets fought the battle all the way down until many of them were destroyed. Until the northern kingdom was taken away by Assyria, until the southern kingdom of Judah was taken away. And you know what? We see these people that are God's people that get caught right in the middle of the mess. Daniel caught right in the middle of the mess. Do you know what Daniel's obligation was? To serve God as best he could as he was ripped away from the homeland and he was taken off to Babylon. His job was to serve God as best he could wherever he found himself. If I'm in India, I'm going to serve the Lord as best I can. If I'm in China, I'm going to serve the Lord as best I can. If I'm in the United States, I'm going to serve the Lord as best I can. Do what you can do, but then you've got to get to the point where you trust in God. And I think that's why we see these individuals. Paul, you remember, he's in prison and he's singing. Paul's not getting lost in the battle of nations, getting lost in the political process. He's in prison because of his faith, very clearly. And as he's in faith, he should be moping around, but he's singing. You know why? Because he's focused on his heavenly citizenship. And when we lose sight of our heavenly citizenship, we are in desperation. When we are not looking for that city that is waiting for us, a city in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10 that says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you ready for that city? The city whose builder and maker is God, is that the city you're focused on? Is that the city that you're engaged with? That's the city that really matters. And when you have your eyes on that city, you always have hope. No matter what happens around it. The United States could fall. But if you're focused on your heavenly citizenship and doing what God wants you to do, we always have hope. It doesn't matter how many people turn away. It doesn't matter how many people walk away from God. You will have a choice in the nation which you live to serve the Lord or to not serve the Lord. And I think so many times we lose perspective. If someone offered you $1 billion or a penny, which one would you take? $1 billion or a penny? We say, Kyle, if I'm just looking at the value of it, I'm going to take $1 billion. You know, I think sometimes we lose so much perspective on eternity. We can't see that our life is the penny and eternity is $1 billion. It's almost like people football. My life is $1 billion. They got to do everything to protect my life and do all these things in relation to the world and never dedicate any time to spiritual things. The world makes our life $1 billion and it makes eternity a penny. I can tell you, when it comes to eternity, we better be spiritually focused. Don't get lost in the battle of nations. Nations will raise and nations will fall. Nations will have all kinds of different leaders. We need to be Christians and we need to be doing what God has asked us to do. To pray, to obey, to serve, to preach, to do those things that are good and right, and trust in the Lord. Because there are many things out of our control. Perhaps this evening you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need the prayers of the church. Both of those involve trusting in the Lord. Eventually, you've got to get to a point as a Christian where you say, I'm going to put this on God. I'm going to do everything I can, but eventually, I'm going to leave this with God. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can if you come, as we stand, as we sing.